Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, August 11th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Carbonite. Backing up files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to Carbonite.com, offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
Hey, I'm Becky Worley.
Behind the board is Mr. Eric Lanigan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day along with you, try to make some sense of it all. Still a bunch of people saying, wait a minute, I need to get my opinion in on net neutrality. Hold on. I'm AT&T, and I mostly agree with Verizon, but I'm gonna hold back a little bit. And over on the other side, hey, I'm Facebook. I used to totally agree with Google. I think they're full of it now.
Yeah, AT&T in the same boat with Verizon saying, hey, thanks for taking the fall on that one. We're just going to hang back and maybe just issue a tiny little statement saying, we support your net neutrality plan. Sounds like a good idea.
That's the AT&T side. Yeah, Facebook said there shouldn't be a distinction between the neutrality available on wired services and wireless services. That's also what Cindy Cohn over the EFF said as well in what I think is probably one of the best, most reasonable evaluations of the entire legislative framework proposal at EFF.org. Whether you agree with her or not, it actually is, it kind of cut through a lot of this hype about like, oh, it's going to ruin the internet, or, you know, or exaggerating that it's some kind of law that's being passed, or it's gutting the FCC, or it's going to be the perfect golden path that will save us all. Cindy Cohn at EFF has a much more moderated look at it.
Yeah, and Silicon Valley Insider also says, hey, you know, just take a deep breath. This is just a first pass, and this is just a starting point where we go forward, and this is actually something that's pretty moderate from a big corporation. Unless you think the hammering noises behind me are the sound of net neutrality being hammered out, I would like to apologize in advance. I'm at the ABC studios, and you are watching and listening to the digital conversion.
Wow.
Analog dying right behind me.
You. Look at that.
As the engineers rip the wires out of the walls around here. So apologies in advance.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen next with this net neutrality discussion? Are we starting to get the other players weighing in now that the dust has settled on the pundits? When will we hear from the FCC? Because that's really the next step, which is the FCC giving their cue of whether they would like this framework to go ahead and go to Congress, or whether they oppose it and would like to continue along the lines. I mean, we did hear from Michael Copps yesterday, but we haven't actually heard anything from Genachowski.
I think the Copps statement and the fact that the FCC has kicked everybody out of the discussions and said, listen, we're going to figure it out and let us move forward. I think that basically what they're doing is saying, okay, enough already. We've had the talking. We're just going to come out with a statement. And I think the Copps, just as we said yesterday, a 3-sentence statement saying that the FCC has to assert its authority over this process, I think that was testing the waters to see how much backlash they got, to see, you know, on the other side of the coin, how much backlash the Verizon Google deal is getting. And I think that once those sentiments are weighed, we will very quickly see some determination coming out of the FCC.
I'm starting to formulate my own opinions about this. I am not as upset with the wired proposal that they have as much as I am with the wireless. I think it's awful to say that wireless should have absolutely no net neutrality provision. I think that there has to be some sort of discussion of whether wireless should be neutral or not. And even if you leave it up to say, like, hey, we think there's enough market forces that will take care of that. But there has to be some acknowledgement. You can't just leave wireless out to rot. And that's where Google has made its biggest about face in this proposed legislative framework, is to say that they agree with the idea that wireless should go largely unregulated, which they've said quite the opposite in the past. A lot of people are pointing at that and saying, hey, you know what? That's because they're Android now. And they gave up the Nexus One and bowed to pressure. And now they're giving in even more to the pressure from Verizon.
So to segue into our next story, given the Android plug you just made, do you think Amazon will come out with some Android devices?
Yeah, well, that's the rumor here. There's a post on the New York Times yesterday that said some sources are pointing out that a bunch of folks are being hired for positions at a Lab 126, a division of Amazon responsible for the Kindle e-reader. And while you could say that, well, those are positions that just, you know, need to be added because they're going to be adding more Kindles, which is true. According to people with direct knowledge, the company plans to put out some kind of tablet device. They're going to build more hardware products as a means to an end, finding other ways to get Kindle software into people's hands besides just an e-reader.
Yeah, and I think that not only is this about really the hardware, we're also looking at sales of media, specifically music and video. And, you know, I was looking at the numbers and called the Amazon folks to find out what their share of the market is. And that's really where this is coming from. They're looking for all the ways that they can get their fingers into the distribution pie. So let me just give you some of the numbers here. So worldwide media sales, almost $3 billion. Now, 40% of that is digital music. And Amazon, of all the digital music sales and all the digital sales that are going on that you would think are all pretty much dominated by iTunes, Amazon has about 12% of the pie. And that's growing. It's up 4 points in the last year. But they need that number to really bump up as digital sales start to really climb and usurp physical sales.
Yeah, and I actually think that Amazon has had this planned all along. They need to put as many different pieces of hardware in place as possible. Again, the buzzsaw going off in the background is people working behind Becky, especially folks on the audio version of this, probably not being a little taken by surprise there. But Amazon has said for a long time that they want to come into a lot of different hardware businesses. They want to put out possibly MP3 players, music players, anything that can get a book into somebody's hands or ears.
Yep, definitely. Now, another thing that's coming up right now for Android, viruses. This is sort of new, right, Tom? We're seeing a rise of a virus out in, specifically in Russia, that comes in the form of a text message, and it basically downloads a very small file and then starts sending out premium text messages on Android phones. Now, as I read this, Tom, it seemed like it was pretty small distribution, not a huge threat.
Well, this isn't brand new, actually. There have been viruses like this on cell phones before. In fact, there's been a lot of these for the Symbian platform, but it's new for Android. It's new for people to have to worry about this on the Android platform. Kaspersky Labs believes it's the first booby-trapped application for Android. And so, you know, in response, you may be looking for an antivirus. And the Register has a story about an antivirus app that has reached 2.5 million downloads. So even though we've only seen our first piece of actual malware for Android platform, people have been worried about this already because they're used to having to deal with viruses on any platform. That's one of the few good security pieces of news that I've seen in a long time, where people realize, hey, you know what? I do need to plan ahead. I need to do preventative maintenance. I need to have a virus app, an antivirus app for Android devices. And so Droid Security is the popular one. It only has some 200 signatures. It's cloud-based, but it is free. I think there's an ad-supported one, and you can pay for an ad-free one. But I don't think this is something you need to freak out about yet. The Trojan is being spread by text message. So if you don't download and install it from the text message, you're not going to get it. What it does if you do download and install it is it starts sending text messages to a number owned by the malware maker. And then they collect a bunch of money from you. They collect the charges of those text messages being sent. If you have any sense, though, and you're paying attention to what you're doing, you're not going to download this app and you're not going to give it permission to access your text message, and even if you did accidentally install it. So common sense, always the best way to go around these things. But hey, there's antivirus out there as well if you want to give that a try. You know, redundancy is a good thing.
And one of the assertions in the articles about this was that iPhones that are jailbroken are actually much more at risk to virus than those that aren't. Are you buying that? Because that sounded a little interesting to me that they were saying that the basically by being rooted that the virus issue becomes much more prevalent.
Well, it does because to root your iPhone, you have to access the admin password, and if you don't change the admin password afterwards, you're much more likely to get hacked. And that's what most of the exploits I've read about take advantage of the fact that someone has jailbroken their iPhone, but they haven't changed that root admin password. And so, you know, if a piece of malware out there knows what the default password is for your device, it can do all kinds of stuff.
By the way, I have to mention that we have so many Australian viewers, and they've sent in a bunch of emails about how much they really appreciate the rise of the jailbreaking or hacking term root as a verb, and that they just really want us to continue talking about how
why
we're
is that, Becky? Why are they so excited about that?
I think it's just a really fantastic word. You know, it sounds no. I'm not going to go there, Tom. I'm not.
Yeah, you'd really
with hammers and drills in the background noise for me. You think I'm going to go into the definition of root?
No, it would root the whole show if you did. Let's take a break from that. This episode is brought to you by Carbonite, the leaders in online backup. Another thing where redundancy is a good issue. Unexpected computer disasters happen all the time. Hard drive failures, viruses. You can get a virus that might wipe out your data, and the result is you lose some important files. So why not try out Carbonite? It's safe, easy, and automatic backup from your PC or Mac. I've got it backing up this Mac right now, all the time. Carbonite helps protect all of the valuable files on your computer, your photos, your videos, your music, your Word and Excel documents. And you can even have it back up executables and video files and MP3s if you want. You can configure it to do a lot of things. You should know it's safe. Your files are encrypted before they leave your computer. It's easy to use whether you're a novice or a full-fledged techie. And it backs up the files automatically. So you get your files back with just a few clicks and your files are backed up off-site. You can access your files from an iPhone or a BlackBerry with their free apps. So if you back it up, you can get it back from wherever you are on whatever machine you have. Unlimited backup for PC or Mac, only $55 a year. That's just 15 cents a day. Try it for free, though. You don't have to plop down even the 15 cents to try it. Go to Carbonite.com and enter the offer code TNT. If you decide to buy the service, you'll get 2 months free with that same offer code, TNT. And be sure to sign up for the free trial from the homepage to get that 2 months free. No credit card required. Carbonite.com, offer code TNT. Another vulnerability for your phone could be the touchscreen. There's something called smudge attacks. According to researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, they found that by just looking at the smudge trails left on the screen of Android phones, they could unlock a phone 92% of the time. So you may want to consider giving an Android 2.2 option a try, if you can get Android 2.2 on your phone anyway. Alphanumeric password option. If you're worried about somebody grabbing your phone and figuring out that passcode by reading the smudge marks.
I spent an entire This Week in Tech episode watching Dvorak trying to crack the Leo's passcode on his, I think it was his Nexus 1, just using smudges. And, you know, Dvorak's a smart guy. No, he couldn't do it. Now, with an iPad, I can tell whether someone, you know, uses it in portrait or landscape. I can see if, you know, I can tell a Plants vs. Zombies gamer in 10 seconds if I look at their iPad and look at the smudge marks. So, I mean, I think there's some validity, but 92% of the time, that seems high.
Well, you're talking about some a guy, a very smart guy, John Dvorak, just kind of while doing a show trying to see if he can trace the marks versus an entire department whose only job is to focus on those smudge marks and figure out the tricks for how to follow that stuff around and figure out how to unlock things. So, yeah, I think it's quite possible that given enough experience and given enough observation that you could figure this out, no doubt. The practice of entering needs care. They say the practice of entering sensitive information via touchscreen needs careful analysis in light of their results. So, you know, it's probably not a high risk that somebody's going to do this to you. But if you lose your phone, yeah, it could be done there. You know, there's probably an algorithm someone could download. I wouldn't worry about somebody just being able to figure it out by sight. It's not obvious. But there's probably some website that's going to come out that people say, like, oh, you just look for this and this and this. It's like figuring out a puzzle.
Maybe it's like Swipe, you know, the predictive texting. So they have some sort of software program that's a lot like that.
Yeah.
And if that fails, there's always hammers.
You could just take a hammer to the phone? Is that what you're suggesting?
I think that's what's going on back there.
Okay. Loss of personal info is as stressful as losing a job. Americans feel most vulnerable about the loss or theft of their personal or financial information. According to a national survey, 54% of Americans said the prospect of losing this data extremely concerned them. Losing personal or financial information ranked similar to concern over job loss and not being able to provide health care for your family. You know, I mean, this is a big deal. Like the idea of losing your data, not having it properly backed up, having it stolen, is making people lose sleep at night.
Yeah, and some of the data that they said what people really were concerned about is that they just had no idea how to lock their stuff down. That was the real thing that scared them. Is this was a total issue of I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah, and at the same time, I want to point out this other story that the FBI has now deprioritized missing persons and identity theft while bulking up on copyright theft. So while people are 54% of people rank losing your personal data, having identity theft happen as one of the most stressful things that can happen to them, the FBI says, not as important as protecting the music industry from copyright theft. Sorry.
And it's a little fishy because, as we've probably mentioned before, a lot of the RIAA lawyers went over to the government in the Obama administration, and now this has become a huge priority. And I know, Tom, you are sort of copyright seems to be something that's a big issue for you. That you seem to think that it's kind of a big waste of time and should be a civil matter, right?
Well, I'm not the only one. You make it sound like I'm some crazy tinfoil hat wearing guy that you seem to think. But I think a lot of our listeners think that, you know, this is overblown, that the amount of time and effort spent fighting copyright infringement is way out of proportion to the damage that it creates. And this is another example of that. FBI has stopped considering identity fraud as a priority. They also have consciously decided to give missing persons cases a lower priority. However, they've started a brand new task force from scratch to go after copyright. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious that they think, missing person, identity theft, you know, we'll do what we can, but copyright, that's the thing that's threatening our country's underpinnings, and we really need to go after that. Do you think that is the right priority to have those in?
Well, the one thing I would say is just because they create a task force doesn't mean it necessarily means they're going to do anything. I mean, one of the things in the report from the Department of Justice Inspector General, he said, hey, you know, back in the Bush presidency in 2006, we had this identity theft task force. They still haven't put a head on the whole thing. They haven't got anybody who's really running the show. So, hey, we have a copyright task force. So maybe by the time the next president's in, they'll think maybe we should man it.
So you're saying we should waste our money. We're going to be wasting our money no matter what we do. So it doesn't matter if we're wasting our money on not enforcing copyright versus wasting our money on not tracking down identity theft.
Yeah, that is the double negative defense that I'm pulling for understanding big government.
Yeah, I know. Well, sadly, you're probably right. But the priorities are still important. And, you know, where you're targeting the wasted money does indicate what you think is important and what you don't. And this is all about appeasing lobbyists. If we had a big identity theft lobby up on Capitol Hill fighting for your rights, then maybe there'd be something different. But that's not the way it works.
I mean, it is amazing when you look at the identity theft numbers. I mean, it's something like 10 million Americans have that happen to them every year. So you'd think that there would be enough of a constituency. And even if the banking industry wouldn't get behind it, they need to start lobbying for that. Forget about this whole mortgage relief and bailouts. Come on, get on the identity theft bandwagon here, banks.
Facebook is spilling names and pictures for all 500 million users, according to a bug that is reported in the Register. The information leak can be exploited by social engineering scammers, phishers, or anyone. Somebody has set up a bot that all it does is put in an email address and any password, doesn't matter what password, and Facebook will return the name of the person that email address belongs to.
So when do the big corporations that mine that scrape of all the Facebook data a few weeks ago, when did the big corporations go in and grab all this too? What do you think?
They probably have done it already. No, probably. It was much easier to download a big file than it is to set up this bot. Set up this script, rather, probably. It's a PHP script, I'm guessing, that allows you to go in and harvest all of this stuff. But yeah, I mean, it could be done by anybody. You can do it right now. If you go to Facebook.com and you put in your own email address and put in a wrong password, it will say, oh, do you mean Tom Merritt? It's meant as a hint. It's meant as a way to help you log in. But instead, it can be used for this. So it's the kind of thing that was designed in one way, but can be, now that we've figured out, well, this can easily be misused. Facebook needs to fix this.
This is just like the AT&T iPad flaw that came up, which exposed the email addresses of a bunch of high muckamuckas back, like the first 120,000 iPad owners, where they put in some stuff. I think it was if you go to the site, it tried to suggest all the names, and they had it all cached on the site. This is not unlike that one. So, whoops, that sounded like a good thing at the time.
Yeah, somebody didn't think it all the way through, or maybe they didn't do enough user testing. Somebody missed something there, but they're going to have to backtrack. Let's finish off with a little Apple rumor palooza. Apple planning a mid-September music event. All Things D says it's hearing from several sources that the traditional event will take place closer to mid-September than early September. Usually it's like the week after Labor Day. And then there's all kinds of speculation of iPod Touch with a front-facing camera,
certain that's happening.
All right, that's the most likely. That's the 90% sure bet. Some kind of iTunes streaming service. John Gruber over at Daring Fireball says dual cameras and Retina display for the iPod Touch. That seems pretty safe bet. And then also, Josh Topolsky wrote up a blog posting on Engadget today saying that they have sources telling them they'll see an Apple TV without 1080p playback, renamed the iTV, for $99 with an A4 processor and access to an app store coming soon.
An app store for Apple TV or iTV. I think this is genius. I think this has been long in the making, and people will really respond to it. And it actually, I think, makes the Apple TV product a lot more compelling. The interesting thing is why 1080p goes away and we're just stuck with 720. There was some speculation that had to do with the A4 chip not being able to handle the high-def output, but I don't think that's really going to be an inhibitor for people who are thinking about this.
Put out high-def from an iPhone 3GS. I don't see why it wouldn't be able to put it out from an Apple TV. I mean 1080, not 720.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, but I don't think that'll be an inhibitor or a barrier to entry for people who are thinking about this as a way to connect up all their media.
This kind of thing is going to have all of the TV and video service makers on board to make it work. I mean, that's the only way that this low capacity, they're talking about 16 gigabytes of flash storage, low capacity Apple TV that's relying on the cloud is going to work. Because otherwise, right now, I have a very small capacity Apple TV and it works okay. I can't remember what. I've got the original one and now I can't remember exactly how many gigs are in it. But it's barely enough. I have to stream stuff off of my laptop all the time, because it can't really hold all the video that I want on it. So if you're going to have a 16 gig be your only version, you're going to have to give me some sort of iTunes store. So if this is going to come by fall, I would say you'd have to see some kind of iTunes video subscription or iTunes video streaming service by fall as well.
Hey, do you know with those things, can you run them off a network-attached storage device, or do they have to have all the media on it?
No, you can run them off of any Apple Bonjour recognized network device. So if your network attached storage device is cooked up to an Apple machine and iTunes is recognizing that storage device and can display all the videos in the library, then yeah, Apple TV can look at it. But Apple TV only, unmodded anyway, Apple TV only looks at iTunes on your local network and shares that way.
That's cool.
All right, well, that's it for the main stuff. Let's move on into the news fuse.
Dun, dun, dun.
Verizon has announced its Fios One channel will carry the first 3D NFL game. Bum, 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 bum. That's my NFL joke thing. It will be a preseason game between the New York Giants and the New England Patriots on September 2nd.
Go Pats. Apple Japan offering to replace batteries in first generation models of the iPad Nano. After 2 years of complaints about overheating that caused fires and burns, any customer who experiences an overheating incident can receive an entirely new iPod Nano. And my question, how are they going to check you on that? You got to come in with like some aloe vera or some salve on your hand?
No, what? I think at this point, with the way that story has been dragging out and maligning them in Japan, you say, I got burned, you get an iPod Nano. They're going to give in very easily. Viacom submitted the paperwork on Wednesday to appeal the ruling that struck down its lawsuit against YouTube and Google earlier this year. Judge Lewis Stanton ruled in June that Google's YouTube was protected under safe harbor provisions to the DMCA.
According to Paid Content, DirecTV is handing over a portion of its ad inventory to Google. So the deal here, Google TV selling ads for television. Google's going to get the ability to sell ad inventory on 11 channels and broadcast to DirecTV customers.
And finally, DARPA is granting $25 million to NVIDIA in order to develop high-performance GPU computing systems. DARPA wants to address a so-called crisis in computing. The four-year project will hopefully yield a new class of exascale supercomputers, which will be 1,000 times more powerful than today's fastest supercomputers. So the GPU really is becoming the CPU. Watch out.
Now, Tom, I know that I am in the doghouse because for those of you who are listening, I apologize. We've got the fantastic construction noises behind me. But, Tom, you are in the doghouse with me because you skipped my favorite story of the day, which
I did?
Yes.
I skipped it?
Yes. Five inmates.
Oh, no, that's the next story. We didn't skip it at all. It's the kicker.
You went out of order, Dudley Do-Right?
It's in order. Look at your rundown, Whirly, before you start casting aspersions.
Oh no, I haven't refreshed it in the last 20.
Uh-huh. You always want to do the kicker after news views, so I'm just doing it for you. I was just doing it for you.
I just am always so excited when I have an excuse to pretend that I'm mad at you that I had to bust that out.
All right, well, now I'm giving you another one because I pointed it out on the show.
Oh, I'm so mad at you. But we do now get to my favorite story of the day. I will even allow you to read the headline because as you are an honorary Filipino, really, by marriage. I just by aspiration, so go ahead.
Inmates escape as guard plays Plants vs. Zombies. This is at a prison in the Philippines.
I love this story. So five guys snuck out because the prison guard, totally obsessed with killing, I don't know which zombie it was. Maybe it was the Yeti zombie he was searching for. But he left his keys right in plain sight. So the guys just grabbed the keys, unlocked, walked out. Dude's completely focused on Plants vs. Zombies. This makes complete sense to me.
He was probably doing survival mode. That's my guess. And he's just like, I can't look up. Because I've been there, man. I've been playing Plants vs. Zombies, and I'm sitting on the couch, and Eileen comes home from work, and she starts talking, and I'm like, shh, 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 shh.
No, I know. I give it to myself as the trying to do survival is my reward when I fly. So I can bang out like at least I'd say half of the country trying to hit 40 flags.
Yeah, have you done it yet?
Just no. Oh, I thought corn cobs was going to get me there. I thought I'm at 33 flags. I thought corn cobs were going to do it, but no.
Well, we should probably get some tips from the guard at the Cagayan de Oro City plant because he doesn't have a job anymore, so he might be willing to help out for tips.
I think he's going to be a PVZ blogger from now on.
Yeah, right. All right, let's move on and look at what is on our calendar.
Yeah, some really interesting stuff. So Code for America is a project that's kind of in conjunction with O'Reilly, and they have basically started... Tom, I'm going to let you finish this part of the story since the...
I don't know the rest of the Code for America story, but I know that IFA is coming up September 3rd in Berlin through September 8th, and Samsung is rumored to be debuting their new Galaxy Tab. That is a tablet based on the Galaxy S phone, so you might want to keep your eyes on news coming out of Berlin and the IFA conference. IFA's sort of a CES of Europe starting September 3rd.
Did you go last year, or you were going to go, but then the volcano or some?
I have gone. I did not go this year. 2 years ago, I went to the IFA press event that happens in the spring. I think that's what you're thinking of. And this year, the press event was canceled because of the volcano.
That's right. Now, let me get back to the Code for America thing. So in conjunction with O'Reilly and Government 2.0, this idea of bringing technology to government, Code for America is offering fellowships, and the applications are due on August 15th. And if you're a coder or a designer or a programmer who wants to get involved with reinventing the government, get your applications in. It's codeforamerica.org. A couple other things. Apple has updated the iPhone and the iPad. They've got a fix for the PDF exploit. And this means no more easy peasy Safari-based or web-based jailbreak tools.
So if you are jailbroken and you want to stay jailbroken, you don't want to update your firmware right now. If you don't care about being jailbroken anymore, go ahead and update away.
Right. And it's a big update. I noticed it was a monster file for just a PDF fix. And finally, a Perseid meteor shower predicted for Thursday. So if you're in a place where you can see shooting stars, go out there and watch them.
Yep. It's supposed to be clear skies, too. So hopefully that'll be good. On to the voicemails. 260-TNT-SHOW. That's our phone number. Give us a call. And Dave from Pennsylvania actually said, screw that. I'm not going to call your phone number and rack up long-distance charges. I'm just going to attach an Ogg Vorbis file and send it to you, which that works, too.
With the recent Google and Verizon news, there have been a lot of headlines claiming that Google has sold us all out. I've got to admit, I don't like the way things are going. But, like some sort of abused lover, I still want to give Google the benefit of the doubt. Maybe, just maybe, they're pulling a Chinese firewall trick on us and exploiting the lack of current regulation to show us all how bad things could get and force the issue into the spotlight. What do you think?
I don't know. We didn't cut him off. His file just ends that way, so just so you know. That's an interesting theory that they're just doing this on purpose. So that we all get outraged and make sure that enough people are paying attention, that good rules are put in place. You think that's what's actually happening, Beck? Well,
I think she muted herself.
Did you mute yourself?
I've been trying to mute myself, so I would say...
You know
say,
what? It's really not that bad. Just let it go. We'll handle it on this end if it gets horrible.
Apologies. I don't think that that's what it is. I mean, I think that this is their straight position on it. And I think we also heard this analogy to the abusive relationship when someone wrote in about Apple, too. I mean, I think we all do kind of have a love-hate relationship with companies who are trying to figure out how to make a buck and how to give us the services that we want.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Google would go so far and have such an elaborate plan to really try and undermine things. I guess that would actually make them sort of like maniacally evil if they did that, even in a good purpose, you know, the ends justifying the means. So an intriguing thought, Dave, though. I appreciate you sending it along. Our email address, if you'd like to send us an attached music file like that, an attached audio file like that, is tnt@twit.tv. You can actually send us video, too, although we prefer you don't attach those. Because they're so big, we'd like you to upload those to a service like Vimeo or YouTube or something like that and send us the link. Or you can just send us a good old-fashioned email like Todd P. did, who is, incidentally, he says, a tech support guy. Todd wrote, just a comment about the discussion regarding the louder keys on older keyboards. In some cases, the loud clicking of the keyboard gives a customer a feeling of confidence during those stretches of silence while on a service call, that the tech support person on the other end of the line is actually doing something proactive to help you with your technical issues. They may not be, but it sure sounds like they are dedicated to solving your technical issue. So don't be fooled by the clicky keyboard.
I think they'll just start piping this into tech support centers all around the world so that you can think that good things are happening. And then there'll be some terrible byproduct of the poor people who work there and have to listen to...
Instead of the hold music, you'll just get clacking and... Hold on, sir. I'm looking it up now. I'm working on it right now. Clack, 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 clack.
Makes me feel so much better.
I think we have a business model.
Yes. All right. Now, I want to read this email. This is from Mike, the air traffic controller. He says, hey, guys, how does Apple threaten to void a warranty for going to a website that exploits a security hole that they built? If I went to a website offering public domain books for download as a PDF file and the site either jailbroke or bricked my iPhone, how is my warranty void? Quick Safari history clear, and you could walk into Apple and say, hey, my phone went blank. I don't know what happened. When it restarted, it has this... Cydia, and he says, make sure you mangle the pronunciation for effect, app.
Cydia.
What is it? Cydia. What is it? Get it off. What kind of crap product are you selling to us? And he makes a good point. I mean, so long as the jailbreak happened through their error, I think this is the perfect excuse you need if you decide to unjailbreak. That it was their fault in the first place and that you just accidentally stumbled into it.
I don't think they're going to buy it, though, because right now the only way we know of to get that jailbreak is to go to jailbreak.me or jailbreakme.com and actually slide a thing that says, yes, I want to jailbreak my phone. And they know that. They're not stupid. But if someone, if there was to be a vast conspiracy where somebody created a site that did purport to a download Mark Twain and jailbroke your phone for you at the same time, that you could point to and say, yeah, that's the site, that's the place where I did it, and they could replicate it, then I think you'd have a case. You'd be able to say, look, I didn't mean to. I don't know what this is. How did I get this virus? Of course, now they've upgraded the operating system, so they're going to ask you, well, why didn't you upgrade your firmware? You know, you need to keep up to date on the firmware.
But what about this is the ethical rationale or the rationalizing of going into the store? You know, this dilemma we had the other day about, if you jailbreak and decide to restore, is your phone still jailbroken? Have you voided your warranty? Which was sort of it came down to an ethics issue. So maybe this is the rationale around it. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're going to buy that. I think it's safer just to restore the phone.
No, I know. Restore the phone, but in your own mind, I haven't done anything wrong.
Well, you're going to lie to yourself and tell yourself you downloaded Mark Twain?
Tom, it's rationalizing. That's not lying to yourself.
All right. Well, if you would like to explain to Becky why she is unethical and evil like Google, you can...
I'm unethical to make you endure this construction noises. So maybe that for that reason, you can send me the hate mail.
Or if you would like to, if you would like for us to send you the email addresses of the folks back there with the buzzsaw, you can do that too. TNT@twit.tv or give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. And you can find our show notes. We want to thank Eva, Leo's sister, and Alex, one of our new interns who have been really helping keep those show notes looking spick and span. So check them out at twit.tv/TNT. There's a link to our wiki, and that's where you can find the show notes. It has links to everything we talked about in today's show. Thanks to everybody for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.